o'clock here on the West Coast, right here in the virtual plaza with Vancouver FM, as this is a special episode, no news this week. The only news we have for you is that Frutiger Arrow is back, baby. We're bringing it back. We don't care what it takes. It was the future they promised us, and it's the future that Vancouver intends to implement. We've been listening to a selection of fantastic music. Would urge you all to just type in Frutiger Arrow into various music platforms. Find stuff that resonates with you. And yeah, that'll be pretty much what we're going to be doing for the second half, is just playing some examples of things. We might play a little bit of a documentary that explained Frutiger Arrow, and I thought it was a pretty good explanation of it by Kylie Bogley. It's about a 19-minute video. So we might play that for you. The 2000s vision of the future, Frutiger Arrow explained. So I think that would be an excellent choice for us to listen to right here on Vancouver FM. Why don't we go ahead and tune in to what Kylie has to say.
The up-and-coming term for the aesthetic we've been seeing for almost decades now. Maybe you've never heard the term, maybe you have, and maybe it's what you thought the world would start looking like by 2023, instead of the bleak, flavorless oversimplification of logos and other designs. Frutiger Arrow was how we viewed the future, but little did we know that at the time we were already living the so-called aesthetic, and that in the actual future, the world would look close to nothing like this. The 2000s did, and I don't think we were all that aware of it. We didn't know it'd become this nostalgic phenomenon. We didn't know what the hell weirdcore was, but I am confident in saying that Frutiger Arrow was just another stepping stone for the liminal spaces that we love today. And now viewing this imagery makes you yearn for being able to see the world through those 2000s eyes again. Or at least it does for me. This is going to be a journey of nostalgia, liminal spaces, internet culture, and more, so let's just get right into it. Frutiger Arrow can be summarized as the aesthetic that was prevalent from around 2004 all the way to 2013, so nearly a decade. The term was coined by Sophie Lee, a member of the Consumer Aesthetics Research Institute. Their website is absolutely fascinating to dive into, by the way. You can go through and learn about the different aesthetics throughout history. They define it starting from 2005. The components of the aesthetic are listed as skeuomorphism in UI/UX design. This is when, say, a logo mimics its real-life counterpart instead of this flat design that is more common in modern day. Glossy designs, Frutiger and other humanist sans serif typefaces, which are fonts intended to be clear and highly legible at a distance or at small text sizes. Tertiary color palettes, glassy or transparent materials, aurora borealis, bokeh photography, these are the pictures with those circles, and grass or nature in general, specifically water and cloudy yet bright skylines. Other elements include fish along with bubbles or spheres. We're gonna call them orbs. So it seems kinda like techie futurism meets ethereal nature, which I think is very fitting for the 2000s because it was when the internet and technology were evolving, but kids still touched grass. The name Frutiger Arrow derives from the aforementioned Frutiger fonts and the Windows Arrow user interface from Windows Vista. I have created a sorta concise timeline of Frutiger Arrow blossoming, followed by its fading out, just to give it more chronology and background. This is my opinion, essentially based on vibes, and might make no sense. The Memphis aesthetic and CGI surrealism of the 80s and 90s morphed then had a baby with the internet, which made Y2K. Y2K's successor, due to the increase in technological advancements, was Frutiger Arrow. The amount of touching grass lessened, the internet increased, and we were met with what Aesthetics Wiki calls Frutiger Metro, the flat, less interesting version of Frutiger Arrow. Then, all flavor was gone and flat design was born. People got bored and Vaporwave became more mainstream. Vaporwave was inspired from that Memphis aesthetic and surrealism, and had a baby with the internet all over again with the addition of nostalgia. and this created the love for liminal spaces. People made weirdcore, dreamcore, etc. out of it, and in the end, that's still kind of where we're at now, but I think we are evolving into something else. And this Frutiger era nostalgia is starting to become a pretty substantial fad, which I think can influence some sort of resurgence in the aesthetic. All right, now that we've got the informative segment of my thesis out of the way, let's move on to some examples so we can get more of a true feel for the Frutiger era atmosphere. I've divided all of these examples into a few different areas in media. We have material objects, physical places, television, consoles and software, and lastly, video games. Some of these we're going to gloss over, others will go more in depth. The Frutiger era mascot should be the fish on the soft soap bottle. No further explanation needed. For the duration of this aesthetic's runtime, the design was prevalent on products like soaps, detergents, computer mouses, even board games, and so much more. Remember the iDog? The robotic toy dog that would play and dance to music? I don't know, I never actually had one. The closest I ever came to having one was a hand-me-down techno dog from another family member that never had working batteries in it. But the iDog is a great example for this time period's fixation of futurism and what would later be known as Frutiger era. Another that is a toy I did successfully convince my family to get me as a child was a Fidget Friend, a rubbery Furby knockoff with a digital face. There's also certain lamps that articulate this vibe so well, notably the multicolored, multi-head lamps that a lot of us had in the 2000s. This is debatably between Y2K and Frutiger era, however, an indisputable example is the iconic aquarium lamp. It goes without saying that lighting in general is such a fundamental component to creating the right feel for any aesthetic, and a plethora of advertisements for technology or cars during the era fit right in as well. Moving on to physical places, I would consider some specific liminal-ish hotels and hotel pools to be Frutiger era. It's mainly that fresh aura that particular hotels have. 2000s or currently outdated dentist and doctor's offices. Typically pediatric offices, but maybe I only think that because I was a kid in the 2000s, but man, them waiting rooms and hallways with all of their colors and dated chairs. Peak Frutiger era, really. But Nintendo World New York in the mid-2000s is the absolute paragon of it. I went through so many pictures of this place while doing my research because I just fell in love with how it looked, and I wish I could have experienced being there. Considering Nintendo created the DS and Wii, they're kind of like the Frutiger overlord. Okay, it's time to out myself as a Midwest kid. So my apologies if the next few instances are too niche, but not only are they near and dear to me, but I think they're exemplars of Frutiger era. The architectural design of Nebraska Furniture Mart and the interior design as well. Even today, some parts of the location closest to me still gives a slight Frutiger era vibe. Sure, most of the modern day decor is kind of ugly and boring, but the layout and actual architecture has remained pretty much the same over the years. Crown Center in Kansas City is another that to this day has the remnants of it. It's honestly a gorgeous place, and I've gone there to do pretty much nothing but walk around, which is probably something anyone that lives somewhere-ish near it can relate to. Lastly, for physical places, we have the Great Mall of the Great Plains. Now unfortunately demolished, the Great Plains Mall holds a special place in child Kylie's heart. Since it opened in 1997, a lot of the mall was more Y2K, but in certain images you can see the Frutiger slipping in. There were more areas of the mall that I remembered but couldn't find photographic evidence of, but I compiled what I could. Frutiger era when television is almost exclusively children's TV, at least all that I could think of. Teletubbies is Y2K according to Aesthetics Wiki, and I'd say Booba is Frutiger era. The show's wiki even states, visuals were inspired by scientific photographs of microscopic life and cell structures. The main characters, the Boobas, are atoms of energy who sleep in charging pods. Fun fact, the very first clip featured on this channel was of Booba. The entirety of the Backyardigans episode, Robot Rampage. The town it takes place in, the buildings and houses that inhabit it, the interiors of all the rooms, I could go on. iCarly in general fits, but the theme song specifically utilizes the aesthetic. Wow Wow Wubsy is one of my favorite examples because it is 2D, however, implements the whole skeuomorphism element mentioned earlier, resulting in the opposite of it feeling flat. We, of course, have to mention Meet the Robinsons, considering its plot residing in futurism. I used to love this movie as a child, but it also was sort of bittersweet to me because I think it gave me one of my first existential crises. I think this film is the epitome of this vision of the bright utopian future we had. And then on the other hand, we have WALL-E, which depicts the bright technological future in a much more bleak light. For consoles and software, we have already briefly touched on Windows Vista, but I would consider its predecessor, Windows XP, to also be Frutiger Aero. It seems to kind of be a debate on whether or not XP is Y2K or Frutiger Aero, but with some of the themes XP had, its skeuomorphic icons, XP Media Center, and Media Player 10, I'd say it should be at the least considered a part of Frutiger Aero. Windows 7 is without question. The startup sound itself is like the audible adaptation of Frutiger Aero, and mostly everything about it is on theme. What isn't entirely on theme is the Birdman wallpaper, but I wanted to feature him in the video. Before we get into consoles, there's LimeWire. This was my music downloader of choice as a kid. All of the songs on my Frutiger MP3 player came from LimeWire. This nostalgic design and hyper-realistic Lime logo makes it worth mentioning. Now they like sell NFTs or something and replace the beloved Lime with a boring-ass corporate Memphis logo, as have most companies following the demise of Frutiger Aero. The PlayStation 3 and Wii are definitely the console embodiment of Frutiger Aero. Look at the PS3 menu and home. PlayStation Home is literally what a Frutiger world would look like. And everything about the Wii is fitting. From the menu with all the channels, to the Wii Shop, the little screen before the GameCube disc registers as a GameCube game, and a multitude of Wii games that we'll be getting into in just a moment. The Wii U, I think, marks the aesthetic's departure. The console itself, I'd say, is just as Frutiger as the Wii. Their menus look strikingly similar, the icons have that glossy skeuomorphic design, Miiverse existed, and it still has that feel to it. But it was released in 2012 and kind of flopped. The generally agreed upon ending year of Frutiger Aero was 2013, so I think it makes sense. In my eyes, the Wii U symbolizes the beginning of the end of Frutiger Aero. The last excerpt of examples is video games. So there are a few GameCube games that predate the supposed birth year of Frutiger Aero, but still fit the aesthetic undoubtedly in my opinion. Areas in Super Mario Sunshine's Noki Bay portray the whole water aspect very effectively. Sonic Adventure 2 has Frutiger Aero elements throughout the entire game, and the otherworldly Chao Garden is worth specifically mentioning. The final selections of the GameCube games would be Super Monkey Ball 1, 2, and even Adventure. I guess the aesthetic is one thing Adventure's got going for it. The Frutiger Aero in Super Monkey Ball is less apparent than Super Monkey Ball 2, but you can still see it seeping through. Like the way that this architecture looks, the underwater section, and this fountain with trees in the desert area. For Super Monkey Ball 2, the worlds that I think are best representations of Frutiger Aero would have to be Jungle Island, taking into account its watery natureness, Inside a Whale. I think the futuristic aspect is really heavy on this one. The amusement park is a great example, and I think so is the bubbly washing machine. With Dr. Badboon's base, I couldn't decide if I considered it Frutiger Aero or not, because I can't tell if it's like too green. Time to get into all of the Wii games. Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 are widely agreed to be like the Frutiger Aero games, especially Galaxy 2. I think some parts of Fort Francis in Super Paper Mario sort of give off the vibe, but the Woe Zone in Chapter 4 of the game certainly does. Wii Sports Tennis and Golf do as well, and pretty much all of Wii Sports Resort. Did anyone else play the Aquarium WiiWare game? While flipping through the pages of all of my childhood memories, I remember this. It's just called My Aquarium, and it's extremely Frutiger Aero. It was such a relaxing, pleasant game. Following this reawakening of my memories, I started to think about random games that also were Frutiger Aero. Pets Cats 2 has the nature qualities of it, and The Art of Balance, which was another WiiWare game, is honestly gorgeous and clearly has a Frutiger Aero essence to it. Moving on from Wii games, we have Portal. From beginning to end, it has this atmosphere to it that I absolutely adore, and it's pretty much the pinnacle of Frutiger Aero. That concludes all of the notable examples without dragging this video on for ages. I did come up with a lot of them on my own, but this Fritiger Arrow lore went deeper than I originally thought when I had first heard of this aesthetic. I found r/FritigerArrow and it was a massive help for creating this video. I skimmed through nearly every single post on the subreddit, gathering as much information and examples as I could, because I really wanted to make this right and feel special to not only me and my nostalgic experiences, but other people's as well. And it's for sure a subreddit that I'm going to continue to frequent. Apart from being beneficial in an educational sense, there's so many innocuous posts that just made me happy to see. Because a lot of parts of the internet have negativity, no matter what the contents are, but the most negative thing I saw on the sub was people being like, that's not Fritiger Arrow, and then some other debate on if an aesthetic called Fritiger Glacier existed within Happy Feet or something. Like, this user asked if a light bulb was a Fritiger Arrow, and the comments are so welcoming. Give it a blue sky background with clouds and it'll be legit. Or just, hella Fritiger Arrow. User ThatOneGuy125 made a post with a Head and Shoulder shampoo bottle saying that the style was coming back, considering the lively fruit and bubbles surrounding it. The Fritiger Arrow Aesthetics Wiki does predict a Neo Arrow being underway in the future, so maybe he's onto something. There's a decent amount of AI-generated Fritiger Arrow images on the subreddit as well, which I thought was pretty fascinating. A few other of my favorite posts I came across were a picture of this iron with the title, "This is not Y2K," and this user commented, "Now we're talking. This is the reality of Fritiger Arrow. Bored of seeing Y2K nostalgia on this subreddit. Fritiger Arrow phone. This is probably what they'd be using in Monkey Ball. And cooking mama back button. That's it. That's the post." Exploring the subreddit really made me realize how embedded Fritiger Arrow is within us, or anyone who lived through its years of service. It transcends just the visual appearance of it. Like, I'd see posts asking what music people associate with it, and realized I associate certain music with it too. I mean, I already mentioned that the Windows 7 startup sound sounds like it, and all of the aforementioned games' soundtracks do as well. So does The Smallest Weird Number by Boards of Canada. And someone even asked about smells associated with it. This has 41 comments with people giving all kinds of examples. Citrus and wet wipes. Shampoo, mint, and petrichor, what you smell after it rains. Unwrapping and opening a console game disc or guidebook for the first time. Chlorine, disinfectant, morning dew, hotel lobbies, maybe even Cheez-Its. Buttery popcorn and or nachos and cheese at a movie theater. Office smell. The laundry detergent aisle at a store. And the blue part of a bomb pop. The mere thought of all of those smells evoked the Fritiger Arrow within me. Scent is well known as the most powerful scent we have. Our nose's memory is better than our brains. The most random scent can trigger such a vivid memory, or even something we can't put our finger on, but like, you know that scent reminds you of something. It's why I love candles so much. I think this brings about an almost humanistic element of it all. I don't want to sit here and make it this profound thing that's deeper than it is, but there is some sentimentality to it. When I was creating the timeline of aesthetics at the beginning of this video, I noticed something. It's the constant recycling of past aesthetics and the liminal quality to all of them. Like, when things got too bland and boring after Fritiger Arrow with the whole flat design corporate Memphis thing, vaporwave became mainstream. And after that, the liminal spaces did. I've always said vaporwave was the predecessor to the liminal space craze. They both have the same nostalgic yet surreal feeling to them. They both were rooted within 80s to the early 2000s nostalgia and aesthetics. And now people talk shit and all the blandness within companies' designs, beige baby aesthetics, less colorful, more lifeless, I could go on. Just like the aesthetics wiki said, they foresee some kind of neo-era movement. We very well may be in the process of undergoing it. But this recycling of liminality brought up a question of mine. Why do humans like it? What's with the progression of what we now call liminal spaces and the fact that they seem to have been sticking around for roughly 40 years now? The world doesn't look like this. Not anymore, anyway. So is it nothing more than us being obsessed with nostalgia and not wanting to accept the world for what it actually is right now? Maybe. But I think our memories, ideas, and imagination are all sometimes better than physical reality, whether we want to admit it or not. I have no idea what the world legitimately looked like through the eyes of 4-year-old Kylie. But in my memory, it looked like this. And my fixation with liminal spaces comes from how they summon this creativity within me that no other visual thing does. It feels like the shit you picture in your head. People are always saying how they look like dreams. Frutiger Arrow was rooted in this idea of a utopian future that didn't actually exist. And guess what? I'm sure tons of people complained about some of the tackiness of it. I specifically remember everyone thinking iOS 7 was groundbreaking and cool because it looked cleaner and more advanced. Who wanted the Frutiger Arrow anymore? And now we want it back. I think it's some strange mix of how much nostalgia really does impact us and this almost unlocking of creativity and a pleasant, nearly childlike view of the world that comes with liminality. Now, maybe you don't understand what I mean, or simply don't agree, and that's completely okay. This is probably going to be different for everyone, especially if you are younger or older than me. For me, early Frutiger Arrow reminds me of playing DDR in the summer, then like going outside and finding a dandelion to make a wish on. Or early 2000s Walmart and the Great Plains Mall. Later, Frutiger Arrow was like playing Super Paper Mario in the summer. You may not have the exact same experience, but when I say that the smell of the blue part of a bomb pop feels like Frutiger Arrow, and you know exactly what I mean, there's something to it. And it just makes me feel more special about the world and humans in general, that we can connect over the blue part of a bomb pop and this stupendous imagery. I hope you enjoyed this video. I know it's different than what I've been doing lately, but I truthfully had a ton of fun making it and trying to formulate some kind of conclusion of this liminal phenomena. I think I've sufficed for now. Thank you.
What a beautiful video from the YouTube channel Kylie Boggly, K-Y-L-I-E-B-O-G-G-L-Y. The 2000s vision of the future, Frutiger Arrow explained. I think she does a great, great job of summarizing how impactful that coalescing moment of technology, design, aesthetics, music, video games, hopeful optimism of the future, and limitless potential kind of thing. So, Frutiger Arrow, we still love you. And as was mentioned in there, the Frutiger Arrow subreddit is super cool. There's a Frutiger Arrow Discord. There's also multiple groups across social media on Instagram, on Facebook as well. There are lots of really good Frutiger Arrow playlists out there on YouTube and on Spotify. That's where I sourced most of tonight's music. Very, very cool stuff. I love Frutiger Arrow. It's super cool. We didn't know how good we had it. But that's okay. That's what nostalgia is all about. That's what Bitcoover is all about. We synthesize with nostalgia right here in the Virtual Plaza every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM. If you are just joining us, we have been making our way through a deep dive into the beautiful blue aquamarine of Frutiger Arrow, a design aesthetic from roughly 2004 to 2013. Super cool stuff, and there are untold amounts of playlists and wallpapers and video game examples and corporate design that really kind of exemplified this. I heard one that mentioned that the unofficial, should be official, mascot of the Frutiger Arrow era is the fish on the soft soap hand soap. With that transparent underwater theme, soft soap fish, you are the Frutiger Arrow fish of the future. Amazing stuff. Let's listen to a little bit more of Frutiger Arrow music as we come up to the last half an hour of Bitcoover FM, Vancouver's only chiptune broadcast. We'll be right back. And now, folks, an uninterrupted broadcast as much as we can, trying to fit it in into 2 hours of Frutiger Arrow. We have the album from 2024, Skeuoss, S-K-E-U-O-S-S, Promised Future. The album art is extremely Frutiger Arrow. The whole album is inspired by Frutiger Arrow. The track listing, Arrow Flow, Microchip Sky, Chrome Serenity, Emerald Sparkles, Bit Dreams, Aqua Horizon, Shores of Tomorrow, Endless Fields, Gel Wave. Let us enjoy the inspired by the Frutiger Arrow aesthetic, with each track mixing dreamy, eerie sounds with tech optimism and nature tunes, making it perfect for unwinding and getting lost in a sound that feels both comforting and refreshing. Let's enjoy some Neo Frutiger.